the church that shook the world. And you get that from the book of Acts. The book that's called the book of Acts was the Acts of the early apostles. And when you look at that, you see what massive, massive change they brought about in their world, all changed for the good, for the most part. Some of it was taken bad by their enemies and used against them, but it was an amazing story of how God, how Jesus started with 12 apostles, and when he started with 12 men, it spread from there, and it wound up being thousands and thousands in something brand new. It was called the Way, W-A-Y. It was called the Way for a while. And then later it says people in Antioch were being called Christians. That was the first time it came up. The church had shook the world. I put up here the main thing. We're going to talk about the main thing. How did they do this? How did they? They would be the first to say, we didn't do it. God did it through us. And I have to say that for this church, we're not going to do great things. God may do through it. We want him to do great things through us. But it's not going to be to our credit. Not to my credit, not to anybody else's credit. When God does great things, but he's going to do that. The main thing, how did they do all of this? Well, they kept the main thing, as we say it. The main thing, I said, it takes a simple, concise message to change minds. You ever been listening to somebody talk? Maybe I might be here sometime, I hope not, but listening to some professor talk, and you get lost in the weeds. They're just all over the place. No, you got to have a concise message. Political people know this, don't they? Yes, we can, Barack Obama, or Donald Trump's phrase, make America great again. It is something quick that gets across a lot of their philosophy, doesn't it, about life. I'm not taking sides politically. I'm just saying that's the politicians are smart enough to know that they got to keep it simple and concise and to the point. So when you think about that, how did they keep the main thing, to make this message go? The church shook the world because they kept the message the main thing. They kept the message the main thing. Did you notice that if you've ever had any contact, say, with the book of Acts or what the apostles did or the early Christians did, when you read about that, they didn't start out with big buildings, and they didn't start out with big budgets, and they didn't even start out with a lot of people. The church started out basically on the day of Pentecost with 120 people. It actually had begun with Jesus and 12 disciples. So they didn't start out with everything. They started out with a message. And the message was, we have seen this man, Jesus. He is the Son of God. We watched him do miracles. We know he was raised from the dead because we saw him. He talked to us for 40 days. He met with us and taught us for 40 days after he came back to life. So they had a message, and they were fired up about it, and they went out there, and they kept the main thing. When they spoke about Jesus, this slide up here says that each message in the book of Acts has the same theme. Now, if you come here on a regular basis to church, and I preach the same thing every Sunday, you probably wouldn't like that. You'd get bored with that, and you would say, no, I think I need to hear something else. But they were able to do this because that was their mission. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. I will be with you. All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So they had a reason and they had a mission. And every time they preached about Jesus, it's basically the same message. We're going to look at two of Paul the Apostle's messages. Look at two of his messages in the book of Acts. And I want to start with this one in Acts chapter 17, where Paul spoke to a bunch of philosophers. Acts chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 22. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul the Apostle has been preaching, and as he's going all through the Gentile world, not just preaching to Jews, but going out to Gentiles, he's out in the Gentile world, and he comes to Athens. Now, if you know anything about Athens, you know that was the home of all the philosophers. Athens, Greece, the home of all the great philosophers. And so he comes to Athens, and he goes through the city, and he sees idols, temples, more idols, more temples everywhere. And he's astounded by that, because Paul was a Jew, and he believed in worshiping one God. And then when he became a Christian, he knew Jesus as the Son of God. So he's looking at all these temples and all these idols, and it bothers him. And it grieved him to see this. When he's looking at all these idols, it's like a man. The man I heard met him one time who was from who had been in places like Japan and China out in the Orient. And he said a lot of places like that, they worship a lot of gods. I believe he was from Nepal, and he said there are lots of gods worshipped in Nepal. And he talked about how many idols they have and how many. And so he got ready. He said, we have about 10,000 gods. I think he was a Buddhist. And he said, we have about 10,000 gods. And he said, so you just pick one. So he picked a goddess, just some goddess in their religion. That was his favorite god, to worship this goddess. Well, he was a college kid. So what do you expect a college boy to pick out but a goddess? You know, he's going to worship this woman, you know. So we talked to him. Actually, one of our guys shared the gospel with him, and he went on back home before he made a decision, I think. Paul was looking at all these idols, and it just bothered him that all this was going on. So he begins to speak to the group of philosophers at this place called the Areopagus. That was a place, it's where it was ancient, even before Paul's time, a place where philosophers gathered, a place where actually they held court sometimes, and some people were put on trial there, and they held court, and it was a place where he could go and discuss. And it says in the text here that it was a place where people would gather and they wanted to just hear some new idea. Just some new idea. It sounds like cable news or something, doesn't it? Where everybody wants to hear the latest thing. And so they got together, and philosophers would talk about the latest philosophy and what they had heard in other parts of the world. And so Paul showed up. Paul showed up there. This is Acts chapter 17, verse 18. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them said, what is this babbler trying to say? He was preaching the gospel. See, not everybody's going to accept the gospel, are they? As long as you accept it and you try to help other people, that's the main thing. Since we're keeping the main thing. They said, what's this babbler trying to say? Others said, well, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. So they're fascinated. All these philosophers are fascinated with what he's doing. They said this because Paul was preaching, get what he's preaching. Good news, which is literally a translation of a Greek word that means gospel. What's he preaching? Good news. When you preach the gospel, you're preaching good news. When you preach good news, you're preaching the gospel in that sense. And so he's preaching good news about Jesus and the resurrection. They always talked about the resurrection. They always said, oh, this man Jesus, he's back from the dead. He's back from the dead. How would that hit you today? If I said to you, maybe don't know much about the Bible, and I said to you, did you know Jesus is still alive? If I stopped somebody on the street out here that wasn't a believer, and I said, they said, what do you do for a living? Well, I work for Jesus. Did you know Jesus is still alive? What do you think people would say to that? Huh? He's still alive. I had an experience one time where I worked at, we had a TV ministry here in West Monroe, and I worked answering phones. Some of you already know this story, but don't interrupt me. I want to hear it again. I was on the phone ministry, and they would call in. People would call in. They'd seen this TV show and call in. And the show we had was Joe Almanza, who was a man converted out of Mexican mafia. And he's now a Christian preacher. So we interviewed him on the show. People were calling in from everywhere. We had 2,000 calls a week sometimes on that 800 number. And so we're up there at the building where it used to be World Radio, still is, but it's a different ministry now. And people would call in, they'd say, would you pray with me? Or I want some of this, I want the tape. We were offering free cassettes of this man's ministry or what he had said on the show. And one guy called me and he said, I need to talk to you for a minute. He said, I saw that man on TV, the man that was Hispanic guy that was in the Mexican mafia. I saw him on TV, and I started thinking. He said, I was sitting there at night watching this show, evidently played at another time, and he said, I was watching this show drinking a beer, and he said, I didn't know where to turn. He said, I had lost my job at the casino. He worked out in Nevada at some big casino, and he said, I was casino manager, and I lost my job because I failed my drug test. And he said, I looked at that show and I thought, if God could help that guy, I wonder if he could help me. I said, sure he can. I said, do you know anything about Jesus? And he said, not really. He said, I never went to church. My parents never went. I never went. I think I went one time at Easter. That's all he knew. I said, well, let me tell you about Jesus. And I started in talking to him about who Jesus was and his whole story. And I didn't have time for the whole story, but I told him the story of Jesus. And I said, Jesus is God, God's son, God in flesh. And I preached the gospel to him. And I got through preaching and talking to him about the gospel. And I said, Jesus was raised from the dead after 3 days in a tomb. And I said, he came back from the dead. And I said, he's still alive. I said, he could walk in that room with you right now if he wanted to. He got real quiet. That gets people's attention, doesn't it? Got real quiet. And I said, would you like to follow this Jesus and be one of his disciples? He said, I sure would. So I prayed with him and I said, now, you need to find some church in the area, since I couldn't do it, find some church in the area and get involved in a church and let them baptize you in water, because Jesus told us to do that. And he said, okay. So he sounded excited. Well, about 6 months later, we decided on that TV show to do a show of converts, people who had been won to Jesus through that show. And guess what? They picked this guy, and he came to West Monroe, Louisiana, and I met the guy. I was at White's Ferry Road working upstairs, and they said, oh, the people have arrived. We had about six people that we flew in, and they were going to give their testimony. And so I went downstairs and met the guy. I saw him, and I thought it was him. I said, are you the guy? And he looked at me and he said, are you the guy? And I said, yeah. So we started talking. And I asked him at some point, I said, was there anything that you had questions about? Was I unclear about anything? What really got your attention about the way I presented what I said? And he said, you know, when you said Jesus could come into my room right now if he wanted to, he said, that sort of rattled me. It got me to thinking. Paul is telling these people on the Areopagus, all these big philosophers, Jesus is alive. Not in some sense of being a ghost, but he's the only human being in heaven that has a body like this one, a body like ours. The only one. Now, there's some little bit of debate about that. But I guarantee you he's the only one in heaven with a body like ours that has been glorified and has all the glory of God on it and all the glory of God in it. And he is the Son of God at the right hand of the Father. Paul's preaching that. And notice what happens as he's preaching that, Acts chapter 17. They took Paul, said this, they said he seems to be advocating foreign gods, and they took him to the Areopagus. They said to him, may we know what this new teaching you're presenting? What is this new teaching you're talking about? So look at what Paul said. They said, you're bringing some strange ideas to our ears. The philosophers said that. Verse 21 says, all the Athenians, people of Athens, all the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about, listen to the latest ideas. So they're curious. Where'd you get these ideas, Paul? So Paul stood up, verse 22, men of Athens, I see it every way, you're very religious. You can be very religious and not know Jesus. There's some religious folk here. They had idols all over the city, worshiping gods of all kinds. Paul said, you're religious people. You're very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. He said, let me tell you about that one you don't know about. There's an unknown God. Let me tell you about him. Verse 24. The God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth. And he goes on to talk about this God that made all things, and he doesn't even need temples. You don't have to worship him with things made with your hands. He doesn't even need temples. Then he continues to preach. And he gets to verse 20. I'll make it short here. Gets to verse 31. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's taught them about Jesus. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. He's alive, he said. He's back. Look at their reaction. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. Isn't that the way the world reacts to the gospel? Some people make fun of it, and they laugh about it, and they poke fun at the TV preachers, and they mock, and they make fun of Christianity. There's even a group considered themselves Christians that has a magazine. It's an online magazine, and they mock Christianity, and they make fun of it, and they satirize it all, and it's like, a lot of people will hear the gospel message and just mock it or dismiss it. Every time I preach the gospel, I know what's going on. It's kind of like the guy that used to play on all those TV shows where he was a private detective, Tom Selleck, and he would always say, I know what you're thinking. I kind of know what some of you are thinking anyway. Some people are accepting it, and some people are saying, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. Well, what's the big deal? It's just church. It's just church. People get out of church and go do what they really want to do when church is over. Then some people sit and they accept the gospel and they say, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I needed to hear about, I have hope now. I needed to hear about God loving me so much that he got in a body and came here and fixed my problem. And he's still alive. And I get to go be with him in heaven one day. Some people, it just grabs them. They say, I want that. I want that. I'm so glad. That's why Christians are full of joy, supposed to be, right? Full of joy because we say, he fixed my issue. What's the issue? Me. Are you your own worst enemy? Most of the time. So Paul taught him the gospel, and what did he preach at the convention of the great philosophers? Same thing he preached everywhere else. Jesus, Messiah, Son of God, came to earth, died on the cross for our sins, and he's alive. Came back, defeated death, has the keys to death and Hades, it says in Revelation, and he came alive, and he's alive forevermore. He'll never die again, and we get to go be with him in a glorious world. It's hard for us to fathom. He preached that again. That was number one. He preached that again, number two, and to the kings of Judea, Acts 26. So this will be, I'll make this one quick, but Acts 26. In Acts 26, Paul has been out preaching this gospel all over the world, and he decides to go back to Jerusalem to take money that had been collected for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. But he knows when he gets back to Jerusalem, he's going to be arrested because his enemies live there. And he was seen as a traitor because he was one of them, one of those people who worked for the high priest. And he had defected and become a Christian. So he gets back to Jerusalem, and sure enough, he gets arrested. Or at least they try to kill him. The Jewish leaders do, and the Romans rescue him. A Roman centurion rescues him from this mob and decides he better do something with him because Paul said, I'm a Roman citizen. Well, that was amazing in their day. He was a Jew, but he was still a Roman citizen. And if you're a Roman citizen, that was a big deal. In fact, one time Paul told that to a centurion. He said, I'm a Roman citizen. And the centurion said, me too. I bought mine at a high price. Paul said, I was born that way. A Roman citizen had rights that common people didn't have. So he told this centurion, I'm a Roman citizen. The centurion rescued him and took him out of that mess and got him he was headed up to Caesarea to meet with some of the kings of the time. He met with one of the governor of that whole area that was appointed by the Romans. I won't go into all that. You can read it later. But he met with that one, and that one was leaving office. So another one named Festus came in. I think it was Festus came in, and he wanted to hear Paul's appeal. He wanted to hear Paul's case. But he's up in Caesarea, and Paul's enemies can't get to him, so the king called on his enemies, come up here and tell me why he needs to be executed. So they got up there and talked a little bit about that. And then this king named Agrippa dropped in. He was the Jewish version of the Roman governor. And he dropped in, and they said, "Don't you want to hear this man, Paul?" He said, "Yeah, I'll listen to him." So he hears Paul in chapter 26, verse 12. "One of those journeys," Paul says, "I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions." Now remember what he's doing. He's headed to arrest Christians to have them executed. And something happens. "We all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic," or in Hebrew, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It's hard to kick against the goads. You ever seen an old cow? They're poking them to get them to move along, and they kick that, oh, that hurts if you kick that goad, doesn't it? Paul's been fighting Jesus for a long time. I think deep down inside, Paul knew there must be something to this Jesus because he kept hearing their testimonies. But he's fighting it. Do a lot of people fight it today? Some in his room fight it. I don't want to give in to that because then I won't have any more fun. I'll never have any more fun in life. That's a lie of the devil, isn't it? So Paul said, Jesus said to him this, that, "Why are you persecuting me?" Who was he persecuting? Not Jesus, but Jesus' people, the church. "Then I said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" Well, he wised up quick. Whoever this is, I better bow to him. "Who are you, Lord?" Look at what Jesus said to him. Now, you don't get that in the other accounts. This is probably the longest one. This is a different account. Not different, but it's an account that Paul told more than once about his encounter with Jesus, and now he says it in here in Acts 26, verse 15. "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people, the Jews, and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them," the Gentiles, "to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Paul got his marching orders, didn't he? So then, King Agrippa, verse 19, now he's telling the king this story. "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." So he talked about all the places he had preached. Then he comes to verse 22. "But I've had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here to testify to small and great alike, all the little folk and all the kings. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen to the Messiah." Notice this. "That the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead will proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul and said, "You're out of your mind. What did Paul just preach? The gospel. It's all about Jesus, the God-man, the man who was God in flesh." And he ends with that idea. He's back. He's alive. Boy, that rattles people, doesn't it? People say, "Well, people don't come back from the dead. Jesus did." Well, I don't know. I don't believe that because people don't come back from the dead. My answer to that is, were you there? If you weren't there, you don't know for sure, do you? Because everybody that was there, even his enemies said he's back, they are witnesses. If you go to court and there's a trial going on, and in that trial that's going on, somebody stole a car and is in your neighborhood. And so somebody's talking about, so they stole my car, and the judge is hearing both sides, and the lawyers are giving their sides. And the prosecutor says, "Well, we know this man stole the car. We got it on video. He stole the car. And this man right here saw him." And so they bring up a witness, and the witness says, "Well, yes, I saw the man. I saw somebody moving around in the dark. I kind of looked, and the porch light came on, and it was him." And somebody else comes forward and says, "Same thing. I saw him. We know the man. He's been roaming our neighborhood. And I saw him go get in that car, and he drove off with it." And you walk up there and you say, "Your Honor, could I say something? I live in that same neighborhood." And the judge says, "Did you see the man steal the car?" "No, sir, I didn't. But here's what I think happened." What's the judge going to say? You can sit down. You're not part of this case because you're not a witness. Why is he not a witness? He didn't see it. So we can sit back and say, well, let me tell you what I think happened 2,000 years ago. Some people say, well, I think Jesus just sort of fainted on the cross. I've heard that one. Fainted on the cross, and he really didn't die, and they got him down. And my question is, were you there? No. You weren't there. The people that were there said he was dead. The Roman soldiers who were there said, we killed him. These guys had been in combat. They knew a dead body when they saw one. They'd seen hundreds of them, probably. How many people had they executed on that hill before? Probably scores of them. You can't fool these guys. They were combat veterans. You might say, well, I don't think it happened that way. Well, good luck, because the witnesses said, Paul still being a witness, he's alive. He's alive, and he kept saying this, you're going to answer to him one day. He's been appointed by God to judge the whole world, to judge every human being. You want to report into him one day and say, I didn't believe that story. I didn't think it happened that way. It did. I'd rather trust these witnesses, hadn't you? I trust these witnesses to give us the truth rather than sit around and say, I don't think it happened that way. Well, when Paul preached, they said, you're out of your mind. Agrippa, he looked at King Agrippa, who was part Jewish, and he said, you believe the prophets? I know you do. And Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul said, whether it takes a long time or a short time, I hope everybody in this room, he said, is the same as I am. I want all of you to be the same as the meaning of Christian. I want all of you to be born-again believers, same as I am, he said, without these chains. I don't want everybody to have chains like I do. What did Paul preach? What did these apostles preach when they, what was their main thing? The main thing was the message. And the message was about a man. Now you're going to see a slide here, the main thing. Actually, this one is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul wrote to a church and he said this about the gospel. The gospel, what I received, I passed on to you as of primary importance. What is the gospel? He lays it out for us. He's saying, this is my sermon outline when I go preach to outside to lost folks. What I received from Jesus, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died, Messiah, that word Christ means Messiah, that he died for our sins to wipe our slate clean. According to the scriptures, meaning that the Old Testament prophets predicted it and then it came true. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, isn't it? And that's what they preached. Preaching the gospel isn't preaching about your church. It isn't preaching about your how to have a better life. It isn't preaching about how you can overcome grief. I mean, those things are good. We preach on those sometimes. How to have a better prayer life. I preach on that a lot. But that's not the gospel. We preach those things some, but what do we preach to the world at large? This, the main thing, the main message. Next slide, I want you to see this. Some of you have seen that. Put the next one up there, if you will. He came. He died, right? The next one is, he was buried. He was raised. And he's coming back. Now, you've probably seen that graphic before, haven't you? That's about as simple as you can put it. That's the gospel. That's why that came about from many years ago. I don't know if it did in other places, but Wikes Ferry Road Preaching School, they tried to come up with a way when you're sitting and talking to people that don't want to open a Bible, don't know much about the Bible. How can you get the gospel across? And somebody said, why don't we just draw some arrows? Jesus came. The Son of God came, right? The Son of God came. Put the cross up there. Anybody can draw a cross, right? He died. Well, why did he die? For our sins. When you see the tomb, he was buried. Then he was raised. The arrow goes back up, and now he's coming back to judge the world. That's the gospel, folks. And the gospel is the main thing. If we want to do what we're supposed to do as a church. Now, All our sermons are not going to be about the gospel. But when we put things out there for the world to understand, that's what we put out there. We don't fuss about politics. We don't talk about sexual ethics. We don't talk about, you know, where to invest your money. At least to the world, we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. And we are determined to do that, aren't we? And you help do that. It's not just one person talking. It's everybody. Think about when Paul went all over the world preaching this gospel, how many people had to help him? He had a team that went with him. He had Luke, the doctor who wrote this, wrote the book of Acts. He went with him on most of these trips. It took no telling how many churches and people to help Paul go. It's not about who's doing the talking. It's about us as a group. It's about us as the body of Christ putting all our effort and all our intention in this idea we're going to share the gospel with the world. And it takes everybody. It takes all of us. You have a football team and all you have is one player, you don't have a football team, do you? Our job is to get out the gospel. That is the main thing. Father, we thank you today that you have helped us understand the main thing. We pray today that this has entered into us and entered into our hearts and given us what we need to know and what we need to have eternal life. And if there are any in this audience, Father, who really are outside and not understand, not yet believers, not yet born again, we pray that will change today. That they will hear your message and the faith, they'll put their faith in it, and they'll repent of their former life, and they'll accept water baptism and live the life that Jesus wants us to live. Thank you, Father, for blessing us in Christ's name. Amen.